Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members. Stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 10 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 20 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 30 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store, download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Game day at my place is kind of a big deal. If I'm grilling, chilling, and watching hoops, my outdoor patio setup better be ready to play. That's where Wayfair wins. From patio seating and umbrellas to grills and grilling accessories, Wayfair's got it all, and it shows up fast. I'm talking championship level, fast and easy delivery. So level up your grill game and your outdoor chill game and head to Wayfair.com now to get your outdoor space ready for the season.
Bustin' Loose Baseball, hosted by Grant Paulson and Toby Altizer, gives you in-depth analytics and interviews on everything baseball in the nation's capital. Now, here's your host, Grant Paulson and Toby Altizer.
Let's go one more arm here. Let's just continue our run with pitchers. Now let's dabble down to the next wave. Travis Sekora.
Another guy. Tall guy.
A huge guy. By the way, you have to be very tall or the Nationals just aren't interested in you. We talked about that when we were at spring training. But that was one of the big takeaways was, my God, do they have a football team in their clubhouse? I mean, it's big leagues and minor leagues. Like, there's no team in the sport that has a bigger collection of prospects. But Sekora is a guy, I'm sure, this year that's going to be one of the most talked about names on this pod. We haven't talked about him a whole lot yet because he got drafted last year in the summer, third round out of Texas. He was one of the most talented players in the country, threw 100 miles an hour at high school, which you'll hear him talk about in this conversation. Round Rock High in Round Rock, Texas. 6'6 plus, 235 pounds, like already a big league ace type body. He's a huge major league player if he's in the big leagues. He's 19 years old. I mean, he'll be 20 this year, but they shut him down after he signed. He didn't pitch at all. And so now we're getting to see him for the first time. We're actually going to do a pod soon on the spring breakout game that's taking place on Friday, I think it is, that the Nats and the Mets are playing in. But he's going to pitch in that game, which I'm fired up about. But Sekora, I just think this could be the next great prospect for the Nationals. It could be the next great arm. They haven't had one in a long time. Like, there's a chance. It could go one way or the other. High school right-handers throw 100. A lot of times they blow out, and 4 years later, you're wondering where that guy is or is he ever going to get to the big leagues. But occasionally, those guys move quickly. He's very mature. He's very big. He has the potential to do that. He throws strikes. He throws 100. Like, this is nasty. This potentially could be one of the top like minor league arms that nobody talks about.
Yeah, I mean, ideally, if things go right, the 2023 draft for the Nationals is the Dylan Cruz draft. We're all going to remember that. But Travis Sekora might be the steal of the draft. The size that this guy has for 19 years old, like, he fits right in there with Rutledge, where I was talking, my arm hurts talking to him. We're interviewing him, and I feel like I'm looking up at a skyscraper trying to talk to him and look into his eyes. And this is a guy who's throwing 100. You'll hear in the interview when he first threw 100 in high school, which is crazy to think about. It was a sophomore year. And his favorite pitcher is Nolan Ryan. Can it be any better? A guy that throws as hard as he does, who idolizes Nolan Ryan, one of the best pitchers of all time. So I'm excited to see this guy because his scouting report on himself is obviously throws hard, throws a lot of strikes, something the Nationals don't have a lot of. Guys that throw that hard, that throw a lot of strikes. So if they can get this guy developed and he can be the dude, we'll talk about Dylan Cruz hopefully becoming the guy that we all expect him to be. But Travis Sekora might be the steal of that 2023 draft.
Joined now by Travis Sekora, who is the Nationals' third round pick out of high school, throws gas, and our first chance to chat with him. So first of all, how's camp going?
Oh, it's been great. Being here with the new staff, getting to know everybody, that's probably been my favorite part of it so far. This new staff is great. Also getting back up on the mound, you know, throwing against hitters again, that never gets old. But it's been great, and I've enjoyed every second.
What's been the biggest adjustment for you coming from high school now out here?
I think controlling the running game, that's been the biggest thing we've been working on, you know, slide steps, holding the ball for different times and tempos. That's going to be a big piece of the season, you know, being able to control the running game. But I feel like stuff wise, my stuff plays to the professional hitters. So I'm glad that's been good.
Probably don't get a lot of work controlling the running game in high school when nobody's on base against you throwing 100 miles an hour. I mean, how often was it even that you were pitching out of the stretcher with guys on base?
Every now and then there's some guy. I mean, almost every game someone gets on base, it's like some jam shot single or you hit somebody accidentally. So, well, yeah, no one really stole just because, I don't know, they didn't really steal much in high school. So, like I said, that's going to be the thing I'm working on this year is controlling the running game. It's totally new for me. It's almost like a new delivery. So,
Nats fans haven't gotten to see you a whole lot, so what's your scouting report on yourself?
I think the first thing would be the big fastball, throwing 100 miles an hour. That's kind of my, I guess, wow factor. I'm a competitor. That's the biggest thing you'll see for me is no matter who's in the box, like, I'm not going to get intimidated. I'm going to go fire right at them. I have a slider and a splitter. I'd say both are really good. I'm just kind of working on consistency of the slider. But yeah, you know, you're going to see an unorthodox delivery, which will be something pretty unique. So, yeah, that's about it.
Are you throwing a changeup and working on that at this point? How often do you throw that?
That's my splitter, I guess. My changeup would be my splitter. And, yeah, I throw it all the time. And so far in camp, it's been really good.
You mentioned touching 100. Obviously, you got that when you won it. Is that something where your average fastball velocity will be like 97, but you touch 100? Or and how does that work?
So pretty much. I'd say I'd probably sit around 96, 98, right around there in normal starts. And, yeah, I'll hit 100 every now and then. Maybe this season I'll hit it more, but we'll see.
When was the first time you touched 100? Do you remember?
I do. It was junior year of high school, and there was a team that really ticked me off. And I think at the time my best was like 98 or 99, and I didn't even throw one 100. I threw one 101. Like, I skipped it because I was so mad. So that was one of the cooler moments in my career so far.
Did they come run? Like, did someone just yell out to you, like, with the gun, or how did you even find out?
I walked back to the dugout, and I saw my phone blowing up, and my dad's like, you were 101, and I was like, I was kind of mad because I gave up a hit, but I was like, that's crazy. I couldn't believe it at first, and I think going home that night, I was like, that's crazy. And then I was trying to hit more. I was trying to gain more, but it didn't happen. But
who were some of the pitchers you looked up to as you were growing up that you wanted to model your game after?
Definitely Nolan Ryan. That's kind of who I tell everyone is my favorite pitcher. He had the weird delivery. He threw very hard, and he was a competitor that worked extremely hard. So I got to meet him this offseason, and I picked his brain, learned a lot from him. So he's, I think, the best of all time, and he's definitely my favorite pitcher.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty fantastic because you obviously got a big frame, and there's not tons of pitchers that are looking like you. Is that something that you find difficult? Do you try to use that to your advantage? Like, what do you use your frame for? I mean, what are you, 6'6", 6'7"?
6'6".
Yes. Yeah.
I guess the biggest thing for me is staying athletic. I still do a lot of, like, you know, taking ground balls and still swinging a bat every now and then to stay athletic, because when you're a pitcher, you got to be an athlete to throw strikes. So I've never ran into, like, issues of not being able to control my body just because I work on staying athletic. But I think it definitely helps, you know, being able to create more leverage on the mound. You can get down the mound, which makes the ball get on the hitter quicker. So that definitely helps a lot.
You drafted third round last year, and then we didn't really see you. I mean, was it just immediately that you shut down and didn't throw again, or what were you doing post-draft?
So I threw quite a bit in high school. So that summer, I was just playing catch. I wasn't throwing bullpens or anything, just keep my arm going because I didn't know if I was going to get drafted or not. So I think when I got down here, it took me about a month or so to build back up to game shape. And then I threw 3 instruct games the last month I was down here last summer. That was the only thing, nothing official.
You're just grabbing whoever's around, I'm guessing. Was it like other minor leaguers you're facing that are rehabbing, or some big leaguers? Or
so we faced, well, the first outing I did was like live at bats, which are against some of the FCL players down here. And then my second outing was against the Astros in an instructional league game. And then the last one we had I think it was our high A and low A guys came down for instructs, and that's why I pitched against those guys.
This year you'll get a chance, I'd imagine. You go to affiliate ball. Well, I'm actually from the Fredericksburg area, so it'd be cool to see it at that ballpark. But when do you, like, start to get an indication on how you'll start the year?
I honestly don't know. I think right now I'm just trying to have a great spring and show that I can dominate hitters, and we'll see where they put me. You know, that's not, it's not, I guess, my decision. I mean, I can do my best and they can keep me down here, but it's whatever they think.
What kind of goals have you set for this season?
Number one goal would be stay healthy. You know, it's a long season and I've never done it before. So with Sam and all the other pitching staff guys, you know, we've been really working on my routine and formulating it to where I can last throughout a whole season and not wear myself down. So I have confidence in my routine, but, you know, like Sam and all those guys, they know what they're talking about. So being able to learn from them and make tweaks here and there, that's what I've been doing to stay healthy.
Did you play any sports other than baseball?
No, just basketball in middle school, but I guess that was a long time ago.
How mad was your basketball and football coach in high school that you wouldn't go play?
I know, like, walking through the halls at Round Rock High School all the time, the basketball coach was like, hey, man, you should play basketball. But I was like, not anymore because I'm throwing too hard, so I want to stick to pitching. So,
what's your favorite sport to watch other than baseball?
I guess bass fishing. It's not really a sport, but I'm a huge bass fisherman, and me and my brother Daniel, that's all we do when I'm not on the field. We're always fishing, you know, fishing around Texas, all the little lakes, and right now with all the bass tournaments going on, we've been watching them.
Get out and fish here at all?
Of course I have. I've gone a couple spots, couple canals down here, caught some peacock bass. So that was pretty cool. Trying to find some good spots for some largemouths. I'm trying to catch some big ones, but we'll see.
Appreciate the time.
Yep, thanks, guys.
How about Yoandy Morales, Yo-Yo, they call him, who is the potential future corner infielder for the Nationals, who they drafted out of the University of Miami this past summer with a second-round pick, the number 40-ish pick, I think, overall, 22 years old. Second-generation professional player. His father was a pro and played Cuban baseball. But Morales, last year, could not have been better after the draft. I was just blown away. 42 games. He hit .350 with a .917 ops. I mean, he had some of his numbers were better than Dylan Cruz's. You know, 32 runs batted in for him in 42 games last year and about 180 plate appearances after he was drafted, got off to a really fast start. We had a nice time catching up with him at spring training.
Joined now by Yoandy Morales, drafted by the Nationals, got off to such a fast start in the system last year. Now you're here at camp working on the backfields with the minor leaguers. We got to watch you the other day. I mean, you guys put in work. Everybody's out there sweating. They're drilling you. This is not like a fun little Florida vacation.
I mean, I'm used to the Florida weather, so it's okay. But, yeah, it's definitely a grind. We're out here mostly every single day, obviously. But it's our job. It's what we got to do and to get ourselves better and get ready for the season. Obviously, our goal is to win games, so I feel like this is preparing us to do that.
Speaking of a grind, last year had to be a grind for you. You go from playing in college to getting drafted to four different levels. What was that like for you going through that?
I mean, honestly, it wasn't that bad for me. I feel like it would have been worse if I would have taken some time off going into the season. So I feel like I was hot at the right time, and it obviously showed throughout my short games that I had. So I want to just keep working, not change anything that I did, just keep doing what I was doing.
You had to be thrilled, though, with just how you performed. I mean, you're a very confident guy, I'm quite sure, but after you're picked, you go into the system, you immediately raked.
Yep.
They keep bumping you up. Like, it was going to go one way or the other, and you crushed it.
Yeah.
And it's got to feel good.
I mean, yeah, it feels amazing. And can't say anything about that. Obviously, moved pretty quick. Did my thing. A couple guys also moved pretty quick through the system, and it felt good. Just got to keep working, get to the Mitch Leagues. That's the main goal, of course.
Did it come easier than you thought, or like were you seeing it really well? Like,
I mean, I wouldn't say easy. Baseball is definitely not easy. I just feel like I said, just playing my college season and finishing and going straight into that, I feel like I was already hot and warm and just going into that. It's the same game I've been playing my whole life. Just had to make a little adjustments in the beginning, but it felt good.
Everybody obviously focuses on your bat, but I think defensively, we were at a game in Fredericksburg last year. You tag a guy out, throw it across the diamond, fantastic defensive player. Is that something you really take pride in?
Yeah, of course. I mean, you got 0 for 3 days, 0 for 4 days, but your team needs you in that one spot on defense. You gotta want to do what you can to get the play done and not make an error and not let the at-bats hurt you on the defensive side. I mean, I see everybody sees the hitting side, but I take a lot of pride in my defense as well.
What are your goals going into this season now, both in terms of areas where you're trying to improve, what are you honing in on, and then also Just kind of big picture, how do you feel like you can advance?
I mean, I've just been working on getting some backspin balls up in the air, pull side. I feel like I was hitting a lot of ground balls to my pull side and couldn't get the extension that I needed. So I've been working on that. But other than that, I feel like I had a good season and not trying to change too much of what I did and just go into the season with the right mindset.
Just taking you a little bit away from baseball, what's something that you like to do on an off day? What's some of the hobbies that Yo-Yo likes?
Yeah, I mean, of course, when we get that one off day, probably golf. I like going off playing some golf and just got into bowling recently. Got myself a bowling ball, so I just started bowling, random sport there. But, yeah, just hang out with friends and doing those things.
That is random. How'd you get into that?
So I went with my friend and girlfriend one day bowling, and he had a bowling ball, and I was like, I guess I got to buy myself a bowling ball now. So I bought myself a bowling ball. Now I've just been going nonstop, just trying to get better.
So how do you even do that? Is it around, like, shaped to your fingers and then a certain weight?
They cut the holes to your fingers and the weight that you need.
You're pretty good,
some spinners. Broke 200, so.
Okay. Wow.
Been doing pretty good. Yeah.
No wonder why he bought a ball. You were, like, really good at it.
All right. Decent at it.
How heavy?
15, I think.
Okay.
15, 16, I forgot. One of those.
Yeah,
because it's not three, it's two fingers. So you gotta, right. You gotta work it.
Are you doing the bit like on ESPN2 where it like curves all the way around?
Yeah, it curves, but not like Mookie Betts. Yeah, that guy's.
Mookie is like perfect.
Yeah, yeah, he's really good. He's legit. Gotta get to that level one day.
Thanks for the time.
Thank you.
If all goes well, Brady House is their third baseman of the future, meaning Morales moves off the position. But they don't really have a first baseman of the future. He might be athletic enough that you could, just watching him field ground balls and some of the stuff we were doing, that you could play him in left field or something like that. He's, as I said, he's a big guy, 6'4" or so. But good problem to have. You worry about that later when everybody gets there and everybody's good. You know, whether it's first base, DH, left field. And that's, again, if House stays at third, he's also massive. Maybe, you know, one of those guys goes to first. But Yoani Morales, keep an eye on him.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, for me, with Yo-Yo, I was hoping that he would get the big league invite this spring training. He didn't, and it's fine. But what
he
did...
He might have run out of spots for the prospects.
And that's the thing.
They're loaded.
The thing is, he played so well last year, and that's why I think when you look at the system... It's not all going to be rebuilt in a year, but last year was so encouraging. Obviously, like I talked about earlier, it's the Dylan Cruz draft, and we all know that. But Yo-Yo looked good. Pinckney looked good. But just talking about Yo-Yo, I mean, this is a guy who's huge at third base, isn't talked about how good he is defensively. All the focus is on his bat, and he did well hitting. But we were down in Fredericksburg and got to see him make a play where he snags a ball, tags a guy out, like drills him on the head, and then throws it across to first base. Just... He's really athletic for his size, and he's a big dude. I think 6'4", 230, something like that. So he's a big dude, really athletic. So excited to see what he can do this year, building off of a really good first season after he got drafted out of Miami.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members. Stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 10 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 20 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 30 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store, download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
One other guy that I wanted to call attention to that we interviewed in spring training, less a high-end prospect, more of an instant impact kind of helper potentially, is Jacob Young, who has a chance to make the roster in center field. He's competing against Victor Robles. I've made no bones about this. I want Jacob Young. You talked about this earlier in this pod. I think we both do, but I won't speak for you. We want him. I want him to be their everyday starting center fielder. He brings speed. He can play defense just like Robles can. He's just an energizer bunny. He's been one of my favorite players in the minors the last few years that I've been all over. But 33 games, 27 hits last year in the big leagues. Had 7 doubles and a triple. Had some really impressive throws from the outfield, including one at the plate to save a game. You know, 13 stolen bases. Hit .250 and held his own with about a .660 OPS last year. Not going to be a great offensive player. Very little power. Like, if he played 162 games, he'd hit 8 or 10 home runs or something. But he would steal 30 bags. You know, he would play really good defense. He would bring constant energy. Always going to be one of the most popular guys in clubhouses he's in. Here's the 24-year-old Ponte Vedra, Florida native from West Palm at spring training.
First of all, different camp for you. Obviously, last year, you're trying to figure things out minor leagues, and now you've got service time and have a chance to crack the opening day roster. Just how does it feel compared to a year ago?
Yeah, you know, it's a completely different different time. It's just you're so focused on, you know, the other camp, kind of to get ready for the season and to just kind of figure out where you're going to be and what you're going to do. And up here, you know, it's now you're back to kind of like a competition. You're still getting ready for the season because that's ultimately what matters. You want to be playing your best ball once the season starts. But, you know, now it's more of a competitive atmosphere up here. You're really trying to win a job and just kind of get your – show the team like kind of what you're made of and what you have to offer.
And just looking back at last year, what was that like all throughout the minor leagues and all the way up to the big leagues, making your debut and sticking with the big league club in September there? How was that and what was that experience like?
You know, it was just a dream come true. It was something I never imagined, never thought was going to happen that year. I was just trying to take it one step at a time and kind of enjoy the journey of it all. And kind of one thing led to another, and I got the chance to, you know, live out my dreams of becoming a big leaguer. And now it's just... It's, you know, people always say it's hard to get there, but it's even harder to stay. So now it's trying to figure out a way to stay and to kind of contribute to this team winning baseball games.
We were out on the backfields watching minor leagues sim game yesterday, and I was asking one of the guys with the team, but I was like, well, for some of these guys who, like, I don't know that aren't prospects or like in handbooks or whatever, I'm like, what's their mindset? Like, do they know the score of, like, okay, all these guys are top 100, whatever, and you're a seventh round pick, and I just wonder, like, when you're drafted or when you show up for that first workout, in your mind, are you going, I'm a big leaguer, like, I'll be a big leaguer? How does that work in terms of, like, just the mental?
Yeah, you know, you see the guys that, of course, you see the big time names. I mean, when I got here, you know, we didn't have Woody yet, but, you know, we had big names that were above me, and when we traded for those guys, there's more big names ahead of you. But it's really just you got to.
Are you like calibrating it? Like, okay, there's three spots.
Yeah, I mean, no, not really. I think you can get lost doing that. I think you really got to focus on your own game. You do things very differently than those guys, and you got to find where that fits in a lineup. And if you start trying to play games and figuring out, you know, who's ahead of you and who's going to fit in that spot, then you're gonna lose sight of what the main goal is, which is, you know, you're not just playing for the Nationals, you're playing for all these other teams as well. So you need to be locked in and show everyone what your game is, because you never know where you might end up and or how you might contribute to a certain team.
We talked with plenty of players yesterday in the clubhouse, and they all mentioned the environment in this clubhouse and how young it is and how exciting it is and how you guys push each other. Can you kind of quantify that? I mean, you talked about some of the prospects and looking at, you know, where you're in the rankings, you know, what, and guys that might take a spot or whatnot. But what is it like in here? Now you're with the guys and a bunch of young guys in here as well, considering yourself as well. So what's it like in the clubhouse?
You know, it's awesome. I've played multiple seasons with a lot of these young guys now, going up to the minor leagues, and we're a really close group at this point. We've seen each other go through the ups and downs, and we know that as long as we all start playing good, it's only going to help each other. If we don't find a spot here, we'll find a spot somewhere else if we're all playing well. So there is a competition, I'm sure, but it's really a very supportive group. It's energetic. We're out here kind of having fun and just kind of seeing where it all takes us, and it's just been a really, really fun time.
You got married this offseason, right?
I did.
What was that like? Where we're at and how did it go?
So it was in Callahan, Florida, which is kind of just outside Jacksonville, on a big farm. It was awesome, you know, great weather, luckily, in Florida. You got to kind of pray for that. But it was great weather. We went on a nice little honeymoon to St. Lucia, kind of get a little break before, you know, to finish your training down in Jacksonville. But it's going to be great to have her on the road with me this year, not be alone. It's going to be nice, so I'm excited for all that.
Will she get to travel with you a little bit, you think?
Yeah, she's going remote, so she'll be able to travel with me. For a lot of the season, you know, she'll have stuff to do, but she'll be able to be wherever I am and kind of get to experience the whole life on the road.
Just last thing with me, like, off day for Jacob Young. What are you doing?
If I can, I'm going to go try to find a golf course. I'm going to go try to play a round of golf somewhere.
Down here at all?
I played one round with Stone and Blankenhorn before kind of camp got started. That was fun. But yeah, anytime I can go find a good cup of coffee in the morning and a good round of golf, it's going to be a good day for me.
Could you beat Abrams in a race?
Oof. I've been asked that a decent amount of times now. I don't know. I don't know how – I'm never really – it's something that I don't think is ever going to happen, but the race itself, but I don't know.
As long as you're not going into it, like, I don't think I can do that. Like, you're like,
I might hang. Like, I could win that race.
Yeah, I definitely think it's going to be close. I mean, as a competitive person, I'm never going to give someone else the edge there, but it's definitely going to be a close race. But I feel like if we both steal 60, we're going to be pretty good, so it doesn't really matter.
Yeah, last thing. I don't think it's as simple like as we imagine in a movie where they sit down on day one and they're like, hey, you have a chance to be the starting center fielder. But are you viewing this like you could break camp, be the center fielder, be at the top of the lineup? Is that your mindset right now?
Yeah, I'm gonna keep that mindset kind of no matter where I am, because there's so many things that can happen. Whether someone goes down with an injury, whether someone, you know, there's so many different things that can happen during a season that you just want to stay ready for that moment. And I think if you stay in that mindset, you don't have to get ready for it. And that's kind of where I am, where, you know, I'm given this opportunity, I'm given this chance. So I'm going to go at it with a full force, and kind of whatever happens, and we'll go from there.
Appreciate the time, man.
Yeah.
Appreciate it, man.
Toby, do you think Jacob Young beats out Victor Robles?
I hope so. I don't think it's going to happen. I think that they're going to end up giving Victor Robles one last shot, but that doesn't mean that Jacob Young isn't going to play a significant role. And by, what, a month, 2 months in, it's going to be his everyday job. And the thing I like about Jacob Young is he does everything the right way, very professional. And to me, when you look at the Nationals roster, last season they were very devoid of power. They just didn't have it. And Joey Gallo's maybe going to add some of that. Maybe some of the other guys down the road. Maybe Rosario gives you a little bit of power. Who knows? But you can make up for that if you can have dudes that are just stealing bags the entire time. Like, we know CJ's going to do it after 47 stolen bags last year. Jacob Young can do that same thing. And you heard in the interview, they're talking 60 stolen bags. Is there, Mark, 60 stolen bags? So you get this guy in there with CJ, and they're combining for, let's just say, conservatively 100 stolen bags together. That's a huge difference maker for a ball club that isn't probably going to hit for top-of-the-league type power. So if you can have him in there, and I think he plays, frankly, you said that, you know, similar to Victor Robles. I think he's better than Victor Robles in center field, honestly, because I think Victor is a little bit overrated in center field. So you put him out there, he plays better defense, he can run on the base paths. We've seen the Victor Robles experience. And he once was a top prospect. He never panned out as being that guy. I want to give the guy that looks like he could be a future glue guy. He's never going to be your superstar, but he's that glue guy on a team. I want to see more of Jacob Young, and I'm excited to see what he can do this year.
So that'll do it for episode 100 of this Bustin' Loose Baseball podcast that we like to bring your way. Let's try to have one out on Monday morning for people. So come back for a new pod on Monday. I want to talk about the spring breakout game being played on Friday. Obviously, we won't go through the box score 3 days later, but I want to talk about some of the performances of the kids. All the prospects we just talked about are playing in that game. Also, left-handed pitcher Andrew Alvarez, who's the Nats 2023 Minor League Pitcher of the Year. Darren Baker, Dusty's son, who's in the system and is in big league camp. Shortstop Armando Cruz, who had a career high in RBI and walks and total bases last year. Elijah Green, the number 6 pick, who struck out in about a half of his at-bats and has a lot of work to do. We'll get to see him in the breakout game. It's a shame we won't see Robert Hassel, who's dealing with a groin problem. But DJ Herz, the lefty that they brought over, who was awesome after he came to the Nats last season, has had a good camp as well. They got him in the Candelario deal from the Cubs last year. Left-hander Lucas Knowles, who's a little bit of an underrated arm. They got a big right-hander named Andre Lara, who's going to pitch. I'm not sure if Dalen Lyle will be healthy enough to play after the injury he sustained, but Kevin Mate, who came over with hers in the deal for Candelario, Drew Millis, the catcher we've had on the pod, Mitchell Parker, who's going to pitch in the big leagues this year, AAA starting pitcher, Andrew Pinckney, really good outfield athlete as well. Among the guys that are going to be taking part in this game, Harleen Susana going to throw. We'll see if he can touch triple digits. Christian Vaquero, nice opportunity finally to see him. He'll be in the States playing at Fredericksburg this year, former Cuban player who was the number 9 overall pick. So very, very excited about the spring breakout game coming up for the Nationals. So come back on Monday. Spread the word on the pod. Thanks for listening. Toby, you get the last word.
Episode 100, man. I didn't think we'd make it, mainly because I joined at like episode, I don't know. But whatever the case is, awesome to be able to do this and talk about the Nationals, and a lot to be excited about for this season. I mean, we talk with a lot of young guys, and you'll see, hopefully, a lot of these young guys in the big league soon. And don't even forget that CJ Abrams seems like he's still on the way up. Mackenzie Gore still seems like he's on the way up. And I don't know if wins and losses are still going to be the thing that you want to watch. Last last year they won 71 games. It felt like it was a little bit of an overachievement. Hopefully they can do that once again this year. But you're getting closer and closer to the culmination of the rebuild, and it's a beautiful thing to see.
BLB at 100 in the books. Thanks for listening.